Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you so much for tuning in and joining into the Book Experience on Our Voice Radio. I do apologize. The devil is always busy. Tonight, my guest is D.M. Hardin, author of Your Pastor, My Husband, and Experiencing a Power Outage. So, if you give me, you tell me you're working on that. We just had a power surge or something in the neighborhood. So, I am hoping that this outage is but for a few minutes. So, you listen to music, I believe, hoping, and we shall return momentarily. Thank you so much for your patience, and I do apologize for the slight interruption. You can't beat Mother Nature, you can't beat power surges or transformers. So, hopefully, I just heard something pop over here. So, hopefully, we will return to the air in just a couple of minutes. Hopefully, this music cues, and I shall return in just a moment. Thank you. Thank you so much for your patience. Hopefully, I hope everything is up to par. It says that we are connected. And I do apologize. I thank you so much for your patience. And we are going to be joined with D.M. Hardin. D.M., is this you?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Thank you so much for your patience. I apologize. Honey, I tell you, something always happens. A little power surge over here.
But it's okay.
I so appreciate your patience. I heard when it popped, and I heard when it popped again. So, oh my gosh, I tell you. Anything to make my first show make me nervous. So I do appreciate your patience, and thank you for sticking with us, and thank you to everyone who is also tuned in and joined in with us. I do appreciate your patience. So, DM is the author of Your Pastor, My Husband. I've actually read a few of your books over the course of the weekend. One of the ones I'm not allowed to mention because my precious Aunt Van is upset. But before we get into your other books, I do want to discuss Your Pastor, My Husband, which is actually the very first book that I actually wrote, read of your work. And I absolutely loved it. Where did
Thank
this
you.
Come from? So where did you come up with this concept of Your Pastor, My Husband?
So, I don't know if everyone knows, but I am a pastor's daughter. So I've been in that lifestyle pretty much all my life. But I didn't want to exactly write Christian fiction. So my mom had been on me, you know, in regards to, you know, when you're going to write something that, you know, that kind of touches in the church a little bit, but still yet you can incorporate the things that you like to talk about and the things that you like to write about. So I was laying in bed one night, and I couldn't go to sleep, and just somehow the whole storyline just came to me. And so I got up and just kind of put it on paper, and I just went with the flow, and I ended up with Your Pastor, My Husband.
And, honey, let me tell you, it is very, very good. I read it in one day, and with all books that I genuinely enjoy, I usually go right on Facebook and say, hey, this is what I'm reading, or this is what I've read. You need to pick this up and read the book. Van usually does so immediately. She tells me I can't keep up with you because I read so much. But as you heard, as you read from her post, she is keeping up now.
Mm-hmm.
And we both, oh my gosh, I love the character Maxie.
Yes, I actually pulled a little bit of Maxine from one of my aunts. She's, you know, sexy, sophisticated, yet she still has that, you know, church side going on. So I enjoyed writing her. I saw a lot of my aunt inside of that character. So that's pretty much where she comes from.
Wow. So are most of your characters that you write about, do they come from people that you know or their personalities?
I've been writing for years, and I found that the best way to write is actually to write from experience or, you know, or being around somebody that, you know, or that you encountered with just for a moment, whether it was at the store or wherever. So I do pull a lot from real life, but I always, of course, change it up a little bit to make sure that it is fiction. So I would say yes, I pull a lot from real life experiences and people and places and different things like that.
Great. Well, I have enjoyed everything that I've read so far. And again, if you're listening online, we are currently speaking with B.M. Harden. We're talking about her newest book, Your Pastor, My Husband. If you have a question, please give us a call. Call in 323-642-1154. Press 1 if you have a question. Or if you're not too keen on coming live on air and letting your voice heard that way, you can always text us at 614-669-2411. I'll take your text messages and ask whatever questions. If you've read any of Jim's books, please come on and, you know, ask a question. Let us know what you think. And give us your feedback. So, Bim, now, what I love about your book is that after every chapter, you have a quote.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you pull these quotes from? And why do you have those quotes at the end?
They're actually original quotes. And I write basically because I love literature. I love the art of writing. I'm aiming to inspire people. It isn't just about, you know, selling books or making money or whatever. I actually want people to take something away from something that they read by me. I want them to remember something. I want them to remember how they felt or something about the story or the characters and actually use it or apply it, you know, to different situations. So that's why I put the quote there, because if they can't take anything from the story, I want to leave them with some kind of encouragement or a piece of inspiration or something. So that's why I put them there.
Well, I actually enjoyed the quotes. That was, I think, the very first quote I read. I wrote it down. I was like, that's interesting. And then as I read through, I said, oh, she has a quote after every chapter. Well, this,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it does, it does provide, it makes you think, not only about what you just read, but I found myself reading the quote, thinking about that quote, but then going into the next chapter, like, what are we about to get into?
Mm-hmm.
I also found my mouth dropping every time I read one of your books.
Thank you.
You have this knack for, you know, I think I'm like, okay, I know she better do this, you know, especially with Matt. I just knew. I was like, she's going to leave. She better do this. She better do that. And then when it all came together, I don't want to give the ending away for those of you who have not read the story as I instructed you to do so. But if you have not read Your Pastor, My Husband yet, there is, you have a twist that
yes.
I did not see coming at all.
Mm-hmm. I particularly had this little theory. Basically, who wants to read a story that they can pretty much guess the ending to? Or, you know, who wants to take the time to read 300-plus pages and they already know, you know, what's going to happen, how it's going to end, and I refuse to write a book that way. So every one of my books has twists and turns and is never going to end how you expect it to. I pride myself in providing you with a roller coaster ride that's going to twist you up, confuse you, and, you know, bring you on in for the landing at the end. So.
And you did that. You are very successful in doing that. Dana's going to be mad at me because I'm going to straight off of Your Pastor, My Husband, for just a moment. Talk about Can You Stay for Breakfast?
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. When I tell you, it was as if I were watching a movie. My mouth, literally, my mouth dropped. And I was tweeting away, like, oh, my gosh. I think I talked about that book on Facebook or Twitter when I was texting then, like, you have to get this book. And then, of course, when we found out. But she was so mad at me because I wanted to tell her so badly why, but I know I can't ruin the book for her. But oh my gosh, that book and the other, I think I read 4 books this weekend. That book was probably the one that had the cliffhanger, the twist was just so, that did me in.
That is one of my favorites, actually. I had fun writing that book. I enjoyed that it came from 3 different sides. It came from the husband's side and the mistress side and the wife's side. So it was all kind of combined into one, and you got everybody's point of view. And, you know, it still wasn't what you thought it was going to be at the end. It was still all twisted up, but I enjoyed writing that book. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that as I told you, I believe on Facebook, I think so far, although but Your Pastor, My Husband is different than Can You Stay for Breakfast. I think Can You Stay for Breakfast is my favorite than Your Pastor, My Husband. I love this book as well. And you, as Dan said, you do have at least two new fans. We are clearly fans of yours because, I mean, I couldn't put any of the books that I started reading, I couldn't put any of them down.
I had a lot of
things to do. Everybody would call and say, well, what are you doing? I'm trying to finish this book, so I'm not going to answer the phone. Your style, I love your style. And I do love because just when you think you know, you throw something in.
Yeah. That's definitely one of my signature marks. I am known for a good twist and a good turn. And, you know, and it's not just in my books. I'm kind of like that in my everyday life. You know, my hubby always says, you know, you just never know what you're going to do. You're just, you know, one day you're this way, the next day, you know, you might want to do this, you might want to feel that kind of way. It's just, I'm a Sagittarius, so that's what I blame it on.
Well, you mentioned that you have been writing for a while. How many books does this make?
I am now at 9 books total. And I'm actually working on 2 books for release in April. So it'll put me at 11. But I have been writing, you know, for years. I was on the newspaper, you know, in high school and in college, and I actually have a degree in communication. So I've been dabbling in writing and literature, you know, pretty much for, you know, all my life. So it's something that I truly love to do.
And I'm glad that you truly love to do it. I believe we have our first question. Caller number ending in 6093. I'm going to bring you on the air with us. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Hello.
This is Van Jackson. And I'm calling from Lizella, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And you made me call because you just had to bring up that other book. How are you, Miss Harden? It's good to hear
I'm
you.
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I am not the reader that Chanel is. I don't read as many. I don't read as fast. But if your book can grab me, it can grab anybody in the world. And
thanks.
Your book, your pastor, my husband, that grabbed me and wouldn't let me go. I stayed at the dinner table till I was done with that book. It
Thank
was
you.
Awesome.
Thank
and as you.
You
know, I definitely want to read the other one. I like the fact that I don't know what the end is going to be. I like that. I'm so glad to know that all your books are going to be that way, because you're right. We're buying these books, and we know the end. You know, we already
mm-hmm.
know what's going to happen. So I mm-hmm. really, really have enjoyed reading your work. I'm going to continue reading your work, because like I said, if you can grab me, you can grab anybody. I'm not that easy.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for
reading. And
now
we're going to get back to the pastor and husband, okay?
Okay.
Yes, we are, and thank you so much for asking your question, making your comment, man.
Well, yeah, a comment. I didn't have a question except that why? Why? But it's so good to meet you over the phone, Ms. Harden, and I am a
thank
fan, and
you.
I will be staying a fan. Keep it coming just like you are. Don't
I
change,
am. Thank
excuse
you
me,
so
don't
much.
Change a thing.
I won't. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
So when you hear your audience respond like that, what does that do to you?
Oh, gosh, I couldn't say thank you enough. I absolutely adore my readers. I mean, I'm a different kind of author. I get all the time that readers, you know, reach out to authors or they respond to them or something, and, you know, they don't hear back, but I am hands-on. I talk to all of them. If they inbox me, if they comment, I'm very, you know, I interact with the readers a lot. If it wasn't for them, there would be no me, you know. So I love the fact that they support me. You know, I have readers that follow me and, you know, make sure if no one else is going to read my book, they are going to read my book. And I couldn't say thank you enough.
Definitely have two new fans, it, as Dan just said herself. Dan and I really enjoy your work. Now, one of the things that in your pastor, my husband, he said that he didn't, I believe it was Max who said it, he didn't require my panties. He only required my presence.
Mm-hmm.
Are there guys that really require that? Where did you pull that from? And what made her say that, or what made her think that or feel that way?
I'm from the country. I'm from the South. I'm a small city from the South. And with that came a lot of wisdom. I have a big mama, you know, I have a great big mama, you know, and it's a lot of country old folks that's around us, you know, 24/7. And they speak like that. You know, they teach us things, and when they want us to learn something or, you know, what we should be worth and how a man should treat us, that's the way they talk to us. And I can remember Big Mama saying over and over again, you know, the man that requires your presence and not necessarily your panties is the man, you know, he's the keeper, basically. And, you know, so I just threw a lot of what I've heard all my life into this book. So that's why I use that quote.
Well, that was, it caught my attention enough for me to make sure I asked about that.
Yes.
I said, well, so do you think that here it is, we're in 2015. Do you think that women give their panties away quickly, or how do you feel about this generation? And it's not necessarily this generation, even our age.
I do feel that, you know, things aren't the same, or the standards aren't the same as they were in, you know, 1980 or even the early 1990s. You know, I hear people say all the time, who has time to, you know, date somebody for months before they give up the goodies and then figure out that maybe he has a fun-sized penis and they don't like it, you know? So I hear people say it all the time. So I do think that, you know, more people are into, you know, fast rather than taking things slow. I hear the older folks say, do people even date anymore? Or, you know, do guys actually court women anymore? So I just kind of think it's a preference thing at this time.
Yeah, I agree. I tend to agree with that. Yeah. Again, audience, thank you so much for joining in. If you're listening online and you have a question, please, by all means, dial 323-642-1154. Press 1 if you wish to make a comment or ask a question. Or, again, if you're a little timid with asking a question live on air, you can always text us at 669-2411, and I am happy to read your text over the air. Or you can tweet me at Our Voice Radio as well if you have any questions or comments about the show. We are talking to B.M. Harden, author of Your Pastor, My Husband, and we're talking about her characters and the comments or the quotes that are actually in the book. If you've read the book, go ahead and press 1, ask your question, tell us what you thought about the book. I'm sure BM was happy to hear those comments as well. So, how long did it take you to come up with this concept and these twists, and did you know the twist was coming before you started the book? Did you know what the end result was before you started?
No, I never know. I start writing. The way that I actually do it is I write it and I get everything that I can think of down. And, you know, that may take around a month or two to actually just do one quick run through of getting it down on paper. And then step by step, chapter by chapter, I go back. I start from the beginning and I fill in all the way until I get to the end. So when I initially write it, you know, a character name may be different. She may be doing something else. But by the time I get to the middle of the book, I may want her to, you know, switch it up and do this. So it takes a lot of time for me to actually get it all together and pull it together. So roughly, I would say it does take me around 6 months, 6 to 10 months at average to actually get a full book down and get it the way that I actually want it, you know, get the ending how I want it. But I have come up with a system that I actually use. I actually write 2 books at the same time. I toggle back and forth. I normally try to write books that are completely different, so therefore I'm not getting bored, and I still kind of pull from one book and may reference it back in the other book. So that's just the method that I actually use.
Wow. So how are you able to keep 2 separate books in your head with various characters at the same time?
I have no idea, but I found that that works best for me. I found that it keeps me from getting writer's block. I found that it keeps me, you know, entertained. One day or 1 week, I'm working on this, and the next day or the next week, I might say, you know what, I want to be, you know, I want to write whatever this book is about, so I jump to the next book. It's just, it's the way that I do it, and I usually finish them both, you know, around the same time, and people are like, oh, God, you know, you have a release coming kind of back-to-back, and it's only because I've been working on them both. for the same amount of money.
Now, see, when I saw that you do have another book coming out, and then I think mm-hmm. I saw something else, I was thinking, why, she has two coming out mm-hmm. at the same time?
I do. Wow. I've actually been working on those two for a while, and they are completely different from each other. And that's just the way that I write. I mean, it helps me from getting bored with the story. It helps me from, you know, getting in a slump to where I'm like, I'll take a break for a week and then I'll write again. It's just the way that I do it. And there are two completely different points of view, and they're two totally separate stories. One is more, you know, humorous and, you know, fast-paced, and the other is a little more on the romantic, slower side. So that's just how I personally write.
Wow. I'm impressed. I just started Jones series.
Yay!
Mr. and Mrs. Jones. Yes, I just, because you know what? I don't know what it was when I can't even remember how I actually found your pastor, my husband, but mm-hmm. I did, and then I was trying to locate other things, but it was like they would show up on my computer one at a time. So I said, mm-hmm. when I was done with one, then, you know, the next one would show up. I'm like, that's so weird, because I'm reading, right now I'm reading Sealed with a Kiss.
Okay.
Yes, Dan, you can write these down, Dan. So, Sealed with a Kiss and the Jones series. So, while you write two books at the same time, I generally read two and three books at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then and when I say, okay. Yes.
Yeah, those two are actually the two books that I were kind of writing together at the same time. You see that they're two completely different kinds of books. Sealed with a Kiss
right.
is almost more of a romantic side, and then you get the drama side with the Joneses. So
yes.
that's I was actually writing those two at the same time.
Wow. I'm really impressed with you.
And, you know, I've heard it all my life. They're like, you know, you work better if you're multitasking, and I really, really do. I can do 10 things at one time, and they're all right. You know, they're all right on point, and I think that's just the way that I work. So I have to, you know, write two at one time. I don't get confused. I don't mix up the characters. It's just the way that I do it.
Wow. Gee. That's so interesting. And it's actually, I mean, it obviously works, and like I said, the books that I'm reading, I am enjoying. The books that I've read, I've thoroughly enjoyed. Mm-hmm. So it's, I mean, your style, it, you know, you do. You keep your audience guessing.
Thank
because
you.
I do find that I don't want to put it down.
Thank
so
you,
I try
you.
To read on the weekend, and I try to read like Friday night, because I find that when I read during the week, if I'm reading a book, mm-hmm. I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work. So
mm-hmm.
if I'm reading a book, I don't want to put it down. It makes it very, very difficult.
Yes.
Because I'm up till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I refuse to put it down. I can't. I have to read it. I have to know what the end is. And so my problem is, which is probably why I grabbed the next title that you have, is because what do I do with myself? But literally, after Can You Stay for Breakfast, I literally laid there for probably 30 minutes because I was so shocked. I didn't pick up another book. I had to get on social media and just start, you know, tweeting and, you know, putting statuses on Facebook about it, because I was so shocked at how it all ended. Even with your pastor, my husband, I actually read this book twice. I read this book about a month. Yes, I read this book about a month or so ago, and then I said, okay, let me read it again right before the show. So I just read it again last week. And even reading it again, I was still shocked.
That's a good thing.
I was still shocked because I think I kind of missed some things the first time. And so I reread it. And I was like, wow, okay. I did see, because I paid attention, but I didn't. So I'm like, oh, so she was talking about, you know, her first husband. She was talking about that. And so you can kind of, if you're paying attention, you can kind of see where things start to correlate. Or if you're paying attention to the states, you can see where things, but it's just like in movies, which this would make a great movie.
Thank you. Everyone
tells me that. Have you ever thought about that?
I have, a few times. So that's my next goal. I'm trying to push out the little book, you know, that I'm trying to get done this year. And then I'm really going to look into kind of trying to see if I could get something on the big screen. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Now, so who would you consider, or who would you have in mind to play
Maxie? I would definitely say Gabrielle Union.
Oh, I could see that. Sassy.
Yes.
Oh, I could see that. Yes. I could see that. Now, wow, I could see that. I really could.
Yes, I would. I definitely would see her being able to be Maxine.
Well, who would be Pastor Cartwright?
Just because he has that whole good guy image, yet with a lot of secrets, I would have to go with Omar Hardwick.
Oh, my gosh.
He's yes. My baby daddy. He don't even know it. He don't even know it.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. And he does have that little, he has that swag to him where he is mysterious in his own, just with his swag. He's very mysterious. I can definitely see him playing Pastor Cartwright. I can see that. Oh, I can so envision that. Wow. And he's sexy as heck, too.
Oh, Lord. I told you, he's mine, honey. Back off. Back off.
Now, Maxie, she says that she started noticing changes, you know, during their sex when they made love. So, now, here's my question, because I was brought up in the church as well. No, I'm not a PK, but I was raised in the church. And my best friends are PKs. But I noticed that I'm very open and, you know, I talk about sex. I even talk about sex with my mother and my aunt. So when I was over Thanksgiving, cousins had come over to the house. And so we started talking about some things, and they said, you know, your mother's right there. Okay. I said, so, you know, what does that mean? I mean, mommy knows. I talk. Do you really talk to your mother like that? Yes. Why wouldn't I? And so, you know, it's interesting because when you're brought up in the church, you don't discuss sex. And so here you have a pastor who is married, but it's like you don't think of the pastor as engaging in sex, even as a married pastor. Why is that?
I have no idea. I've heard that a few times, but just coming up around it and, you know, being a pastor's daughter and, you know, having uncles and everybody else that's apostles and bishops and everything, they made it clear that we're human too. You know, we're still people, you know, we're not perfect. And being able, like you said, to be open with my parents and, you know, to openly talk about sex. So it really made it easier for me to, you know, show Pastor Shelton and Maxine in that light, because we do have that comfort zone. We do have that ability to say, you know, Ma, do you ever do this? Even though, of course, you would never tell us, but we just like to joke around with it, like, Ma, you know, I hope you don't do this or that, you know, and things like that. So it just made it a lot, it made it comfortable for me to actually talk about it. And I wanted to portray that in a book because I want people to see that pastors are human too. They're people just like we are. You know, they have lives, they make mistakes, and, you know, they have families and they have sex. You know, so that's exactly why I put that in the book.
Right. I think people think that pastors or people in the church are like the Flintstones. They, mm-hmm. you know, pebbles just appeared. Where did she come mm-hmm. from? You know? Mm-hmm. So, yes, get out of the stone age, people. It's 2015. And I think, really, that's where we have a lot of the issues because, you know, we keep so much of our lives, sex and, you know, diseases and incest and whatever, you keep that, especially in the Black households, you keep that, like, hush-hush. And I don't think that we should share relationship and how she thought when she came to the church that he was sexy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, I enjoyed that. And now, you know, every time I say that Pastor Cartwright was sexy, I'm thinking of Amari. So thank you for that. That is now, he is now in my head. That's the only person I cannot imagine anyone else playing.
Yeah.
So now, how do your fans, how do they reach you?
I have, you know, Facebook personal page and an author page. I have two different emails that I utilize. I did have a fan club mailbox, but that is kind of being revised, so that is on hold. But I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, I'm a little bit all over social media and on the web.
Okay, so your Twitter handle, how do they reach you if they want to speak to you via Twitter?
They can DM me on Twitter.
Okay.
Or they can, you know, mention me, and I'll see it. I try to respond to everybody or retweet or at least look at it and acknowledge it, something. So I'm constantly looking, especially since I've been able to do the writing thing full time. I love the interaction, you know, because it's just me all day and then the hubby and then my son. So I love being able to talk to readers and interact with other people, you know, because I've gone full-time to writing, so I don't get that luxury of working around people and talking to other adults. So,
that's awesome. So how long have you gone writing full-time?
My last day at the American Red Cross was in June.
And I did see on one of your social medias that you work for Red Cross. So,
mm-hmm.
wow. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
So how do you balance writing and family?
I'm more of a late night writer. I do write during the day. Being, of course, a preacher's daughter and having to be active in the church, of course, and then I'm a sibling of, I have 8 brothers and sisters, so we have a huge family, and I have over 24 nieces and nephews now, I think. So we have a huge family, so I'm very, very family-oriented. And then I have a hubby and a son. So I definitely write where I can and when I can, and my days and nights are all mixed up because usually I spend my night's writing. It's quiet, everybody's asleep, and then I sleep pretty much during the day. So once the baby is off to school, that's when I get my nap time.
Wow. So what advice would you have to hopeful writers
I would say write from what you know. Don't write to, you know, to impress or for the fame or for the money, or all of those things will come if you're writing quality work that readers can relate to and that readers can understand and, you know, really get into your work. Just write from experience, write from things that you can pull from. So it does seem realistic. Don't give up. Just continue to do it. I can remember starting out and, you know, I was like, well, I'm writing, you know, I'm really taking this serious. I want people to take me seriously. And, you know, things weren't moving as fast, you know, maybe on the financial side of it. But I was like, it'll catch up. People will see that, you know, I give my all when I write. I'm not trying to just put it out for them to read it. And, you know, it was okay. I don't want it to be okay. I want you to say, wow, you know, that was amazing, you know, and I just want to pour my heart and soul into every single book that I write. And that's what I would tell aspiring writer to actually do. Just put everything that you have into it, and eventually people will see how hard you work, you know, to give them quality books.
Well, I can certainly attest to the fact that you are not just writing just to write, but it's a message in there. It's not something that you have read. You know how you pick up books and say, oh, I read that already. That's the other book. It's not that. It is actually something different in each book. It's a different story, a different storyline. I have no clue how you do that. It is.
Thank you.
It really is. I mean, seriously, and I'm sorry, Dan, but I really jaw dropping. I was just so shocked at the way you twist things and, you know, you turn things and you don't see it. You really do not see it coming. And so, and I appreciate that, because I do not like sitting there reading a book that I know what the end is before I get there.
I believe, you know.
I appreciate that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I said I appreciate that.
Thank you. I definitely just, you know, and I've been writing for so long, and I've won a few different awards, and, you know, even in high school and college, and I feel like all of it worked together to get me to where I am now. I can remember after writing my first book, I had actually tried to switch careers and work for the newspaper, you know, because I just wanted to be in that field. And I remember, you know, the woman that I interviewed with, she was like, you know, I see that you wrote for the college newspaper and high school newspaper and different things like that, but I don't think you're ready. I don't think you have enough experience. You know, now I get her contacting me by email all the time saying, you know, come on, join us, do a column for us, you know. So it was just more like, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take this leap of faith. I'm going to write this book. I'm going to get it out. And I'm going to learn everything that I can about literature, and that's just where I've been. I love to read everything, from Terry McMillan to, you know, James Patterson. One of my favorites growing up was A Day Late, A Dollar Short, and The Little House on the Prairie, believe it or not. So they're two completely different things, but it all works together, you know, and that's just, I'm just a blend of different things, and I try to put that in my writing as well. I don't want it to be a set genre. You know, people ask all the time, is it urban? Is it romance? Is it erotica? You know, like, what is it? Is it suspense? It's a little bit of everything, you know, all combined into one. And it fits who I am as a person. So I just, you know, I love to write. You know, I don't really know what else to say about it. I breathe, sleep, eat writing. I love it.
Well, it shows. You do it very well. I appreciate it. Like I said, I'm reading two of your books right now. Well, actually, yeah, I guess you can say it's because you have the two combined. So that's the one I just got, the Mr. and Mrs. Jones.
Okay.
So I can read the complete story. But, yeah, I truly, truly appreciate good writing.
Thank you.
I enjoy good writing. And I enjoy talking to the writers. And I would tell you, they're great if you weren't. I'm just like, eh. As you saw, I post everything on Facebook.
Yes. And Twitter.
So, I told you I was going to blow your timeline up today.
Yes, you did. It was fine. It's okay.
That's how I publicize and get the word out that, you know, the show is coming on. And, you know, as I said, people don't really like to hear their voices on the radio, which is fine. It's good. I love it. I enjoy the fact that people are reading more now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that we perhaps may have lost a little bit of that? And how do you feel about everything, a lot of it, e-books now?
I like the fact that you have the convenience. We live in a world of convenience. People are always on the go. Time is always moving, you know. And I think that e-books are a good thing. But I do think that, you know, more people read than you realize, you know. And when I first got into it, people were like, you know, do black people actually read? And I was like, yes, you know, they read, you know. You know, and they were like, really? I was like, yes. You know, you'll be surprised how many African-American people actually read books, you know, and they love to read books. So that's why I am so prone to giving that good old, you know, feel of what I came of reading, you know, and with so many different people out these days and so many different books and e-books, you know, some people don't respect, you know, the genre like they should, or they think all of them are the same, but I'm here to prove them that they are different, you know. There are still people that actually value the quality of a good book, and I'm just one of those people.
Me too. My daughter, well, I've been reading since I was probably 10 years old. And so I have hundreds of books because I don't have a bookshelf, so they're in boxes now. And now I have hundreds of books on my Kindle now. And so my daughter has started reading. They used to take my books because I don't like to share my books either. I don't like to go to the library. Mm-hmm. I have to have my own brand new book, and that I don't like. So now I like it where Kindle, you can share the books, but they can only keep them for 2 weeks. But now my daughter is now starting to read more. My son is reading more. He was just listening. And so I've always introduced my children to books, and so now, and then I thought they had left, you know, reading, and now I see that they're picking it back up. So, because you can take a lot of things from people, you know, but you cannot take where their mind takes them when they read a book. So I love your craft. I love the way you do everything. Again, I cannot say enough that I am a big fan of yours now. I'm looking forward to the new books that are coming out later this year. So I can't believe that you are putting two more books out at the same time. But you're doing
literally,
a great
I think,
job.
4 days apart.
Really?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Yes.
I said, so how do you promote both books at the same time? Bless you.
I have all day, lady. I don't, you know, I just have so much time on my hands, you know, and I have, you know, a lot of supporters, and, you know, I have my best friend actually is in a position kind of in that world of books and bookstores and things like that, so I have a few people, you know, on my team, and that just helps get the word out. And they're pretty much done at the same time. They're just going to be going through the editing process. And I was like, you know what, why not just push them out a few days before each other, after each other. So A Painted Smile comes out on April 1st, and then Read the Warning Label First will be out April 5th. So.
Oh, my daughter's birthday. I'll have to get that to
Yay. I was thinking of holding but one, you know, and I was like, maybe I can put one out later. I was like, no, but it'll be already done. I'm just going to go ahead and put it out. So it'll be all right.
So will you take a break after releasing those in April? Will you take a break?
Yes. I'm actually doing a lot of different traveling this year and with the family. So I do plan to take a break, a few months, actually, so I can still promote the both. So that'll give me time to actually still promote them without something new coming out right behind them. So I need to, one of my New Year's resolution was to, you know, less work and more, you know, family time and traveling and vacation time. So that's one thing that I plan to do this year. I don't have to work 40 hours a week, you know, like I used to. So we're just going to travel a little bit. We're taking the kids to Hawaii and things like that. So those two books will be out. And then I don't expect to release another book to sometime late fall or early winter.
Oh, nice. Now, will you attend the author book club conference in Atlanta in August?
I'm not sure. I just recently got some information on it, so I'm not sure yet, but I do plan to travel, so I am game for it. So we shall see, hopefully.
Yes, I do. I have every intention of attending that conference this year with my mm-hmm. mother and my aunt and actually my coworkers, a couple of coworkers would like to attend. So we are trying, yes, I am constantly pushing everyone to read, and I encourage them to read the authors that I discuss and whom I push, because I love what I do, and I love the authors. I don't think I really have read one disappointing book, and I definitely have not read any disappointing book that you have written. So I look forward to April
mm-hmm.
for those two new releases. I will, by then, have read everything that you have released. Yes, because I am, yes, it is, I love authors like you, and
mm-hmm.
the fact that you are female,
mm-hmm.
and can write the way that you do, and write from both a male perspective, which is what you did, and the Can You Stay for Breakfast?
Mm-hmm.
You wrote from the male perspective as well. So, and briefly, tell me how you were able to write from a male perspective as a woman.
My hubby. It's not as easy. I've seen some people say that it's easy, but it's not as easy to me, you know, as you would think. So I'm constantly, you know, asking him, you know, what would a guy say, you know, if I'm talking about this? Or what should I say like this? Does that sound girly? You know, so he is my ride or die. He is, you know, he helps me, especially when it come from, you know, what with Mr. Jones, with me doing the first His and Her series, with Mrs. Jones strictly from a woman's point of view and Mr. Jones from the man's point of view. He was, you know, 40 hours in every day just like I was. You know, I constantly had to ask him, you know, how do men feel about this? Or what would they say with this? You know, just to make sure it didn't sound too feminine. So that part is challenging for me. That is one thing that I would say is very challenging for me as an author, to really come from the male's point of view. But thank God that I have a hubby, you know, so he helps me with that part.
So do you try to challenge, when you know you're faced with a challenge in writing, do you embrace that challenge, or do you kind of think, how do I do this? How do you?
No. I embrace it. I was ready for it. You know, I was like, I'm going to do this, you know, and you're going to help me do it, you know, whether you want me to do it or not. But I also have three brothers. And so, you know, I was pulling from everybody, you know. What do men feel about this? You know, if she said this, what would you say? Or what would you do? So I'm just constantly asking questions, and I just pulled it all together, and I made it work. So,
great. I'm happy that you made it work. It has worked, and I believe that it will continue to work. And I really, really look forward to seeing you on the big screen.
Thank you.
Your pastor, my husband.
Thank you.
On the big screen, I can so see that. So as we bring this conversation to a close, and listeners, you've had your opportunity to press one. I see you're there. So I appreciate you listening and tuning in, and those of you who have also tuned in online, and those of you who have texted me as well. I appreciate that. I appreciate this. VM has kicked off our first show of the new season. Had a slight hiccup, so again, I apologize for that. It was totally out beyond my control, but I appreciate staying with us. And as we come to a close, is there anything that I should have asked or that you would have wanted me to ask that we didn't get a chance to discuss?
No, pretty much we covered, you know, all the bases of, you know, what I do and how I feel as a writer. And I've enjoyed the questions and my time here on the show. So I love to speak to people. I love to tell them, you know, where my inspiration comes from and why I do what I do and why I'm not going to stop doing, you know, what I do. And I just love, you know, the support and the fans and the readers that actually, you know, take the time to pick up a book, you know, and read from me or any other, you know, African-American author. We have to stick together. We have to band together. You know, life is moving. Things are changing, you know, and it's all about teamwork. It's all about, you know, perseverance and just going for what you know and not giving up on your dreams no matter what, you know, challenges that may come up or arise. You just have to go for it. And I plan to do that in every, you know, area of my life.
Right. Now, let me ask you this one last question. It just dawned on me because I'm on a network on Facebook. And I know that some authors, they have a lot of negative things to say about other authors, especially, and I find that they're usually new authors and new independent authors. And do you feel that if they're doing that, it is because, you know, it's a lot of independent authors as well as mainstream authors. Do you feel that they think that perhaps there's not enough room at the table? Or why do you think there's such pettiness among
I was getting into this, and I say this to a lot of different authors and people, you know, that I talk to in the literature world. You know, I've never seen so much, you know, competition in a negative way in all of my life. You know, never did I expect to, you know, become an author and see that it's so much back and forth and criticism between each other and hating on this person and hating on that person. There's room for everybody, you know. People are going to read regardless. You know, I found personally that on days that I take a break and don't promote, I sell just as many, you know, as if I was out there and promoting. So people are going to read, you know, regardless. I don't feel like you should be in competition with anybody but yourself. You should be your, you know, your biggest competition. I want to do better because of me or for me. And to see it, I absolutely hate it. You know, I haven't, you know, gave my opinion on anything. I don't get into the bickering or, you know, size or anything like that. I just feel like instead of arguing with each other, join together and write a book together. You know, if you think you can do it better and you think your company or you're writing it better or whatever, write together, you know, and kill all of it. You know, everybody join together and everybody work together. I would love to see the unity, you know, because I think it shines the wrong light on African-American authors. Or, you know, I've never seen a war going between, you know, James Patterson and, you know, somebody else. And it makes us look bad as a group, you know, and it makes us look bad as authors and African-American authors. And I've seen, you know, I've even talked to different publishers, and it's just like, you know, work together. You know, if you don't like their style and if you think they're stepping on your style, tell them, you know, instead of making it such a big, you know, issue, or work together, write a book together, you know, have a drink together, you know, something, and just get over it already. But I have seen a lot of it. And I don't know if it's because someone is mad, because somebody is making more money or whatever, but who cares? You know, it doesn't matter. You do what you do for you. Worry about your own coins and, you know, do your own thing. I don't think it should be any competition. I hate it. That is one thing that just, it rubs me the wrong way. You know,
yes.
So, but.
And it's just, and as a fan and as a reader, it's disheartening for me. And now as, you know, a radio host, it's disheartening because I won't read them. And I think you're doing yourself a disservice when you do that, because if anyone is like me, and I see that, and I see that bickering and that arguing and the whatever you're doing, the pettiness, especially on social media, I won't pick up your book.
So you're messing with your own money.
Yes, it is bad.
Yeah, I didn't know it was that bad. And, you know, I would see it a lot, like, this author beef here, this author beef there. And I'm like, really? You know, like, you don't see the big mainstream authors doing it 9 times out of 10. You know, they're working, they're doing their own thing. They're worried about their own books and their own fan base and their own money. And they don't have time to, you know, fuss about the little things or other things or what another author is doing. And that is just something that I've been seeing a lot of. And I'm just like, oh, my God, really? You know, like, who cares, you know, if, you know, they made more money than you, if they have more reviews than you, or their book is, you know, doing better than yours, then that means you need to do something, reevaluate yourself, whether it's your writing or your promotion strategy or whatever it may be, and step your own game up and do better for yourself. And if you can't beat them, join them. Ask them to help you. Show me what I'm doing wrong. You know, can I work with you or whatever it may be? I just think, you know, I'm so strict on the saying pride comes before a fall, and I strongly believe that. You know, just humble yourself, and if it's something you're not doing right and you think for just a second that they're doing a whole lot better than you, instead of going up against your fellow brother or sister, join in and do it together. It's all about teamwork. So that's just how I feel on the matter.
Thank you for your take. You heard it here from B.M. Hardy. Great advice on unity amongst brothers and sisters. B.M., I so appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule away from your family to sit and chat with us about your pastor, my husband, and your other works that you have done and are bringing forth in the near future. I appreciate your work and everything that you are doing. And again, you have a fan in both me and my Aunt Diane. And we will continue to read you. I will continue to follow you on Facebook and Twitter. And thank you to my audience. Thank you for those of you who pressed one. Thank you for asking or making your comment. Those of you who have been listening, I see you. I appreciate you coming, dialing in and listening. And to those of you who are listening online, thank you so much, too. We do appreciate your support. It only gets better. It only gets better. So thank you for sticking with us. Again, B.M. Hardy, it has been such a pleasure, and I so look forward to continuing reading everything that you are doing as well as seeing your work on the big screen.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. And you have been listening to The Book Experience on Our Voice Radio. Again, as always, I continue to pray one for another and for our children. God's best to every one of you.